That's it. Just gonna push it on there. That's all right. There you go.
So could we just go over again? Your first rescue, so to speak, it was when you were about seven. This is Wenceslaw, wasn't it? And what exactly happened? Your mother had a breakdown or something.
Yes. Well, I'm not too sure what it was at that age. Never and been talked of very much, but she did have a nervous breakdown of some kind. And it was just before I was seven.
And Ray sort of just took you over in a way, did she?
Well, yes. I was removed from our house in Brighton in a cab, a horse cab. And I can remember with Ray, whom I didn't know at all at that time, and my two brothers accompanied us to the station, sort of swooping round the cab on their bicycles like Red Indians round a coach, you know. And I can remember the train journey up to London with me sitting in a corner of a railway carriage and Ray sitting opposite me, eyeing me with some alarm, I should imagine. Did you quite know what sort of a creature she'd got there? And offering me some kind of picture book. Well, I couldn't read at that age. Barbara, of course, could read since she was about four, I should imagine. I couldn't read at all. And I remember Ray's horror to this day. That I can't remember the events, but I gradually learnt. Also, to my horror, that I wasn't going home. That was a terrible business.
How did she help you over that? I mean, was she sympathetic?
Yes, I think she was, but I really can't remember. I was very little. And I think children were very much younger and simpler in their reactions to things, and children at the same age would be nowadays. They'd be much more on the ball than I was at that age. And the next thing that happened was that I had my tonsils and adenoids taken out on Ray's kitchen table.
Sounds like you had all your troubles at once.
Yes, I can remember that. It was just like the Victorian novel. The most extraordinary business, being woken up one morning by Christopher's nurse. Because, of course, Christopher was a very small child at that time. And being told that there was a gentleman downstairs who wished to see me. So I was rather horrified because I was in my nightie and suggested I might get dressed. So she said, oh no, there wasn't time for that, my dressing gown would do. So I said, can I take my teddy? I assure you, every word of this is absolutely true. I know it sounds like Mrs. Ewing or something, but it's quite true. So Christopher's nurse and Teddy and I descended to the kitchen, which I thought was a little odd, because of course in my day, the young ladies and gentlemen didn't go very much into the kitchen.
Yes, of course, yes. Yes.
Cook would have been very annoyed if she'd been invaded by small children in the kitchen. She wanted to get on with it anyhow. There was this charming young man, he was quite young. I believe he was a young army doctor, and he must have been very, very happy he came to be there. Don't ask me, I haven't the foggiest idea. But anyway, I was lifted up to sit on the kitchen table, clutching Teddy, and the doctor said to me, I've got a very nice scent here, I'd like you to smell and tell me what you think of it. Well, I don't know, I suppose children do take these things quite au pied de la lettre. Anyway, I did, and I sniffed this thing, which of course was a chloroform pad, and I thought it smelled disgusting. But I was far too well brought up to say so, and said, could Teddy have a sniff? So the doctor said, yes, Teddy could have a sniff. And Teddy had a sniff, and I had a sniff, and finally I was out. when I woke up, mine was my tonsils and adenoids. But do you know, to this day, doctors keep me choking at the end of a spatula, saying what a marvellous job it was and what doctor was it who did it. Because I don't know the poor boy's name at all.
But I mean, that needed to be done, did I?
Yes, it had to be done.
Did it? I see. Yeah.
I believe I'd had very bad whooping cough or something which had infected these things and they had to be removed. But that was really the first. Poor Ray was really plunged in more or less deep end.
I'm really wondering, did she sort of take you over and give you an overhaul, so to speak, in a sense? I mean, were you being sort of tidied up generally, do you think? I mean,
I don't know. I expect I wasn't very well. I think
yes.
I had had this whooping cough, and probably getting bad throats and things of that sort. I probably had one when I was with her. I simply can't remember the details when I was with her at all. So she probably called in the doctor. And he said, these things must come out. Something like that, I should imagine.
What about reading, Mrs. Wenzel? Was there some crash course in reading?
Not at all, no. I think I had a certain amount of resistance to reading. But my mother had curious ideas about girls' education. She didn't approve of it at all. Unlike my father's family, she thought... you know, she came as a little music and a little French, and
I see, yes, yes. The old, you know, Victorian sort of
old Victorian thing. Mm. So I wasn't really allowed to learn anything at all. Certainly not to read. And I must have been about 9 or 10, I suppose, before I really read. Didn't stop after that very much, did I, darling?
No.
How did your mother get on with Ray, really, then?
Oh, not
their
at
ideas?
All, not at all.
I see, I was going to say their ideas are absolutely antithetical.
Oh, no, they're quite frank, they
well, they were absolutely...
Daggers drawn.
Yes, yes.
My mother disliked Pippa very much, too. I think there was a great deal of mutual anticipy and jealousy, because Pippa, of course, was very fond of my father, and I think they all felt my mother was not worthy of him because she wasn't a highly educated woman. She was a very feminine sort of,
conventional
woman.
Yes. Not unusual for the time.
Oh, not at all unusual for the time, and I think she was a very strong character in her own way, my mother, wasn't she?
Okay.
But in a diametrically opposed way.
Doesn't that make Ray a rather inappropriate person to take
you over? Totally, totally inappropriate.
Yes.
From my mother's point of view.
Yes.
Quite inappropriate, though she and my father got on very well, but I don't think this... I don't think this helped my mother to like Ray anymore.
Your father died... before your second crisis, so to speak, did he?
Oh, yes, when I was 12, just before my 12th birthday.
Mm. It sounds like you had a rather terrible childhood, in a way.
Especially deprived, especially definitely deprived.
Yes, well, after the tonsil business, I was put into a... I don't know why, but I think Ray and Oliver... may possibly be at that time they had to leave their house in Hampstead. They had a house in, I believe it was Belsize Park, darling.
Was it? Yeah.
Well, anyway, Bob can tell you about that,
yes,
but there was
yes,
somewhere in Hampstead they had this house, which is where I went when I went on the first occasion. And then I was put into a series of schools. One very strange school for children whose parents are in India, which is a very unhappy experience. I don't think it can have lasted for very long, but you know, in childhood, after all, you must remember I couldn't read.
Yeah.
I couldn't write. I had no means of communicating with anybody. And no means of telling the passage of time, really. And then the second school was Friday's Hill House, near Mudhouse.
Oh, yes, yes. Yes.
And I was there only, I think, for one term. And I still couldn't read all right. And I don't think I got very much schooling there either. I had my 8th birthday there, and I remember...
All this is while Ray is looking after you.
Yes, and Ray and Pippa came down for my 8th birthday, and we had a picnic in the woods on Friday's Hill. Did he?
Mm.
I remember that. And then quite then at the autumn of that year, Barbara and I were taken out to Iturty. Stay with Graham. Why? I really haven't the foggiest notion, but that's what happened. Whether it had anything to do with my health, which is possible.
It may have been just that Ray did go occasionally.
Oh yes, oh yes, she used to go out there about once a year.
Yes.
And she, but I don't think she took us out because we went out with Ray's governess, the famous Miss Prynne, who may or may not have heard of.
I've come across her now.
Oh, yeah. She was a great character.
Well, the governess to her children, you mean, or governess?
No, just
to herself?
For Barbara.
Oh, no, I haven't heard about her.
And, oh yes, well.
Ought I to know about her?
No, I don't think so at all. No, nothing to do with Ray, really.
No.
Where did I got to?
You got to Itati now.
Oh, yes.
And how long did all this go on for then? A year or two, did it?
I mean, yes, a year or two. Yes, mind. Yes.
Yeah.
And then Barbara and I went down to a place called Witch Cross, which is in near Forest Row, the big house which belonged to the Freshfields. And they had a lot of grandchildren. And they were very anxious to get the services of Barbara's governess. The only way they could get her was by having us too. So we were all there together, young Fishers, Barbara, me, and one or two children from the village.
So it was a sort of ad hoc school.
Sort of ad hoc school. There were about 8 of us, I suppose, altogether.
Mm. Was Ray, in a sense, trying to act as a mother then, in this period? Did she encourage affection from you?
No, not at all. I hardly saw her at that time.
Mm. So she doesn't take on the role she took in her second crisis?
No, not at all. I don't think Ray was really very much at ease with small children. I think she was more at ease,
sort of mature.
More mature. Yes.
Yes.
But she was certainly marvellous when I was the second time.
Shall we move on to the second time? I mean, you just sort of knew her as an aunt.
Yes, just as an ordinary aunt.
Yes.
I mean,
you just sort of occasionally went to see the children.
Yes.
Yes. So, your second crisis, you were actually ill in a nursing home.
In a nursing home.
Paralysed.
Mm.
And she just arrived, did she, suddenly?
Yes, well, my mother just, from my point of view, she just suddenly stopped coming. And I couldn't find out what had happened to her. Nobody would tell me in the nursing home. And it was really a hideous position I was about. I think I was just 19.
Yeah.
But of course you must knock off at least 4 years if you are going to equate it with...
With modern. Yes, I understand, yes.
And then one day... I think, somehow or other, my eldest brother had been contacted by the doctor. How, I don't know, but anyhow, he was. And of course, he wasn't all that grown up himself, really. And certainly didn't want to be responsible for a tiresome sick sister. And he got hold of Ellie Rendell, who of course was a doctor. And she appeared at the nursing home. And after some chat, I suppose, she went and saw Ray and said she thought it was thoroughly unsuitable, I shouldn't be there. And she had me out. And I was carted off in I can't remember what sort of a conveyance, because I couldn't walk at all, to Ray's house in Marsham Street.
Can you remember Ray's house in Marsham Street, what it was like?
Oh, very well indeed.
Do describe it for me, would you? Well, the furniture and the general sort of appearance of it.
Impossible to describe the furniture, it was so nondescript. There was a row of little houses. They were Queen Anne, and one of them was occupied by a very, very elderly Edwardian actress, whose name escapes me for the moment, Gertrude something or other, she was, and she seemed to me to be older than God by about 200 years, and she was doddering about. Anyway, they were small houses, terrace houses with basements, if you can have a terrace house with a basement. And to me they were very oddly furnished, rather a bit bare, rather untidy, and a bit, be quite frank, a bit grubby, shabby, perhaps.
Inside.
Mm. Very comfortable and cosy, but shabby. And there was a long passage from the front door, about twice as long as this, which led to the sort of, I suppose it was a drawing room. And in it was a very large grand piano.
That was Oliver's, I suppose.
Which was Oliver's. Mm. And large quantities of music of a rather tattered nature. And all the walls were lined with painted white wood bookshelves from floor to ceiling, with hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of books of every sort and description, all higgledy-piggledy. There didn't seem to be any kind of order. Every room had bookcases from the floor to the ceiling. And there were some usual sort of armchairs with loose covers on. And very ancient, rather threadbare, oriental rugs on the floor, and as far as I can remember, sort of cottony curtains on the windows. It was all quite strange to me.
Simply more run down, so to speak.
Rather run down, yes.
Yeah. Yes.
But in the middle of it, you'd have all sorts of things like silver entree dishes and.
So it was a mixture of sort of opulence, rather like an Oxford College in a way.
Yes, I think very like an Oxford, very, very much like, yes, a Don's room, with due respect.
Yes, no, I understand.
But I thought it was delightful, I must say.
So what was the sort of living room downstairs, presumably a dining room somewhere?
The dining room in the basement.
Oh.
There was a little sort of courtyard in which there was nothing except the cat. As far as I can remember, there was always a cat. And the little courtyard between the window of the back sitting room or drawing room or music room, whatever you like to call it, and on the dining room, and you went down into the basement. The dining room was back, and the kitchen was under the mm-hmm. pavement.
I see, yes.
That sort of thing.
Yeah. And then upstairs, just bedrooms?
Upstairs, yes. Ray had a ground floor bedroom, and Oliver had the back bedroom on the first floor. And when I first went there, I had the first floor front room, because it was quite correctly supposed that I wouldn't be able to get myself, or nobody would be able to get me up any further than that.
Mm.
And then later on I had a room right on the top floor when I'd recovered from this. And one time, this room that had originally been my bedroom, Barbara and I shared as a sort of sitting room when Barbara was home from Oxford in the vacations.
Can you say anything about housekeeping? I mean, did Ray show any interest in housekeeping at all?
No, but she was very competent.
Was she?
Yes.
Not cooking, because there was somebody to do it for her.
Well, we had a sort of woman of all work called Mrs. Inwood, who did the cooking and the cleaning and as far as I know, the shopping as well. I wasn't in the least interested in anything domestic myself. And on Mrs. Inwood's day off, Barbara and Ray would do the cooking. And I wasn't even allowed into the kitchen at that time. Go and lay the table, they said. I couldn't boil an egg when we married.
Well, I suppose Ray could, because she was quite practical, but I mean, well,
she was
didn't choose
very,
to do
very competent, you see. Anything that she decided had to be done, she could do.
Mm. That's interesting.
She didn't necessarily like it, but she could certainly do it, and she was quite competent about cooking a supper if she had to.
Was she?
Oh, yes.
Mm. And dress was, as we were saying, I mean, it was careless, was it? I mean, she just wore any old thing. Did she just...
I wouldn't say it wasn't quite like that.
Yeah,
she,
don't let me put words in your mouth.
She used to wear tailored, what were called coats and skirts in those days, what would be called a suit now, I suppose. Mm. But they weren't at the least mannish. They were just tailored ladies' suits.
Right.
And blouses.
Mm. Mm.
And they were all very plain, because she couldn't be bothered with the... But she used to wear... I remember she had one or two quite good. I suppose they were grams, I don't know. Diamond stars, which she used to wear sometimes.
She could look rather splendid, couldn't
she? Oh,
she
looked magnificent when she was all got up. She used to be the recipient of some of Graham's cast-off evening dresses, and when she had to go out to a function, moaning and groaning, she would be hooked into one of these. And the net result was rather superb, because she was a very handsome woman and held herself well, although she wasn't in the least conscious of it.
And she looked, I think you said that she looked... She wasn't exactly beautiful, but she was quite striking. She had lovely eyes, didn't she?
Yes, she had very beautiful blue eyes, very brilliant blue eyes, and very pretty white curly hair, which she wore rather short for those days. And, of course, she never bothered with makeup or anything of that sort, but she happened to have quite a pleasant complexion.
Quite a big figure.
Oh, yes, she was large.
Mm. Did she move quickly? I mean, was she rather stately in her movements?
Oh, I really can't remember.
Yes. Not to worry, I just wondered, you know, quite what the general impression was. She could look, anyway, quite grand when she wanted to.
Well, I don't know. I think in spite of herself,
I don't
think she ever wanted to look grand at all. She was just totally uninterested in her own appearance. But as I say, when Barbara and I pushed her into a... I remember once she had a velvet evening dress of some sort or another, was sort of draped. She looked very, very fine indeed. We used to encourage her with loud cries, and she would pretend she didn't care. I think she was quite pleased, really.
Because I think Barbara told me that once she was going out somewhere and had it on the wrong way round, and Barbara said, oh, you've got it on the wrong way round. She said, oh, it'll do, or something like that.
I shouldn't have been at all surprised. Not in the slightest degree surprised.
But did she, how did she, put it crudely, how did she deal with you in the situation? Did she leave you alone, or did she worry about you? Did she, I mean, you were a problem, obviously.
Yes, I expect she worried about me a good deal.
Mm.
She never harassed me or bothered me in the least. And I used to, I think quite a lot of the running was made by me, because I wasn't used to being left so much on my own. Well, I hadn't very long left school. I was left school when I was 18. And all this happened when I was about 19, I think, as far as I can remember. And I was very diffident about approaching her, very nervous, because I knew how clever all my strange relations were, you see. Not being clever myself was very alarming. Very alarming indeed. But I soon found that they weren't these cold, inhuman creatures that had been made out to me.
It's partly your mother had projected this
idea. I suppose she had.
Mm.
And I found, in fact, they were extremely human and had a great deal of affection to bestow on those whom they wished to bestow it.
Not demonstratively, though, you
Not
were
at all, no.
And you felt that...
Ray certainly wasn't demonstrative. But in time, I became very sure of her affection. I felt it was... I loved her very much, and I felt that it was returned.
Mm.
I don't know how, quite, but it was.
Mm.
So...
So you feel, again, I don't want to put words in your mouth, but you feel just having this atmosphere that you rather liked, or came to like, probably helped you out of your illness.
Out of what?
Out of your illness.
Oh, yes, I think it was a tremendous help.
So then where did you go from there? It's so difficult to project one's mind back into the attitude of a person of that age, isn't it, at that time? I mean, were you looking round for a career, so to speak, or how did the acting thing come to you?
Well, I think since I was about 4, I'd wanted to be a dancer. But that, at that time, was absolutely not on at all. I believe...
Even when worse than an actress.
Well, no, but you see, you have to start training to be a dancer very young.
Oh, I see, yes.
And my father would never have allowed it. In fact, somebody once saw me dancing in an amateur show, a scout for the Royal Moscow, as it was then, ballet. And wanted to buy me because they thought I had so much talent. My father was livid with rage. But after that, I realized that I couldn't be a dancer, and gradually, I suppose, at school, I acted in plays and things, and gradually came to me that what I wanted to do was to go on the stage, because this seemed more attainable than dancing, which I realised you needed a very rigorous training from a very early age.
And you weren't put off by the aged actress who lived nearby?
Oh no, I hardly knew her at all. But I think I probably confided to Ray what I wanted to do. And I've no doubt there was some sort of family conference And then I was taken to see the lady who ran the Central School of Acting, who had incidentally taught Pippa elocution when she was a girl. So you can imagine this old party was fairly formidable. Elsie Fogarty, she was.
So do you think, in a sense, that's Pippa coming in? I think you said, didn't you, earlier, that you thought probably Pippa and Ray had got together when you were ill in the nursing home?
Yes, I think so, probably, because of my father.
Agreed that something ought to be done?
Yes, probably, I should imagine so.
And Pippa was very fond of your father, did you say?
Oh, yes, well, they were very close.
Mm. They were the pair, were they?
They were a pair,
yes.
Yes,
I see. So, how did you know your mother disapproved of the idea of acting? I mean, or did you only realise that later?
She said so very loudly and clearly.
I mean, you were in touch with her when you were just considering acting.
Oh, yes.
So then you presumably presented the idea to Ray, or you again discussed it with Ray, and did she encourage you? Or just...
Oh, yes, very much so.
Did she really?
Yes. I think she thought it would be a good idea if I'd got that bug, find out if I had any talent, which was rather sensible of her. Nobody else seemed to think, this never occurred to anybody else. And then I was, I remember going from being sent for a weekend to Cambridge to visit my Aunt Pernell, who was the principal of Newnham at that time. I'm telling her about it. And then shortly after that, I was sent to this... but I was still rather feeble physically. And I used to miss quite a lot of the classes and things because I was physically unable to get there. You know, but gradually that went off.